10-1969. Kenneth J. File, Stuart Connor, and Joe Medicine Crow are at Joe Medicine Crow's house at Large Grass, Montana. Joe has just shown us two rocks which his grandmother used for warming and applying to parts of the body, and to a pestle which his grandmother either made or picked up, but nevertheless used for nearly her entire lifetime, which was almost 100 years. Joe will be rejoining us in just a few minutes, and we'll ask him to tell about the use of the rocks and the pestle. And when we're done here, then we'll go on over to the Yellowtail Dam area and pick up Martin. He does it, and go on to 24BH-266.
Well, these two rocks circular and flat, and the other one's kind of oblong and a little bit thick. These were stones given to me by my grandmother, that is my grandmother's sister, Mrs. Mary Tixigan. She uses them for her arthritic joints, pains and aches, you know. She'd throw these rocks in the fire and heat them pretty hot, not too hot, and so she could wrap them up in a cloth of some kind. Then the places that heated rock and cloth where it aches, you know, on shoulders and legs and so forth. So there are two types, the flat one and the oblong, you know, for convenience, I suppose. And that scraper, sort of, what do they call it?
Pestle.
Pestle? Yeah, I found it up here just down those hills there, about 2 miles from here.
Oh, you mean the flat rock?
Yeah, flat rock.
That's the
Matari, yeah. We have about 7 teepee rings right up there on that high point. There's a benchmark up there, Geological Survey put it up there, exactly 4,000 feet up there. And here we have about 7 of these teepee rings there. And this grinding stone has been there for years and years. And I always kind of just like to look at it. But I was afraid somebody's going to come along and take it. So I finally brought it in here for safekeeping it here. Now, for no one, generally they face the grinding side down, and when they come back next year or two, well, they just use the same rock. But this one had been turned over, and it, as you can see, it's kind of, well, there's a word for it, patinated, I suppose. Put it that way. And there's another rock up there I found. It's a grinding stone also, and not native here. I think it's brought from someplace else, probably during the days when they had horses where they could afford to carry these things around a little bit. So it's here too. I brought that in too. It's up there. It was up there too. So these are about the only things that I picked up, except arrowheads and stuff. I generally don't pick things up. I just kind of like to leave them there and then come around and look at them later.
How about the pistol you're going to?
Yes, I don't know where, if she made it or she picked it up, but as you could see, it was real pretty, just one of the finest rock work I've seen. She had it for years. I bet she used that thing for 60, 70 years. Finally, she gave it to me here when she quit grinding and started using electric
Did your grandmother have the bottom part, the mortar part also?
Yeah, she had. She gave it to my cousins. One of my cousins. Worn down pretty good. I think it was made out of granite, kind of bluish, grayish colored rock.
We photographed the two warming stones and the festival here today. Your grandmother actually used the festival and the mortar to grind grain, did she?
Cherries.
Grind cherries.
Mostly. Then she'd make what we call powdered meat too, you know. Put these strips of meat, dried meat, and pounds it and make pemmican.
Was her name Takes the Gun?
No, Mrs. Yellowtail. Her English name is Elizabeth. She has two names. She went by her grandmother's name, Elizabeth.
So it was Mrs. Yellowtail that owned the pestle, but it was it Mrs. Takes the Gun that owned the warming stones?
Yes.
And how was Mrs. Takes the Gun related to Frank? Mother? Or?
Mother, yeah.
The site of 24BH266. And Joe Medicine Crow and Martin, he does it, are going to talk about the Crow and Piegan battle, which took place here many years ago. Ken File is taking pictures, and Leroy Landry, who is Martin's son, stepson, is also with us here today. Mr. He Does It, could you just tell us about the first time you were here and what it was like? No,
first time I was here?
First time.
Well, ever since I'm old enough to know. How old are you?
Well,
I'm 69 now, and I was about 3-4 years old when my dad brought me up here and showed me this place where the Deacon and the Crow that battle here.
What did it look like when you first saw it?
Just the way you see now, but it's a lot of bones and laying around spearheads. But now it's all cleaned up. The white people are just like Cayuse. They pack anything they could see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the spearheads made out of stone?
Some of it, and some made out of bone.
Tin. Is that right?
Metal.
A kind of a metal there. I don't know what they are, but they camp over there in Hoodoo. That's
Hoodoo Creek.
Hoodoo Creek. The Crows camp over there. A couple of guys, they kill a buffalo over here in the fat. Then they seen these Piegans here. They had near the trench here. They're waiting for the Crows to get after them.
Your father tell you about the battle, did he?
Yeah. That's the way he told me. And a fellow named Billy Moore, that's his father. That's the one. He's all alone. He's a medicine man. Come over here, and the whole gang helped him. They cleaned the whole works. There's two of them alive. They wounded one down here. Died somewhere. They could find him. Just only one got home. That's all. Out of 60.
Which way did they come?
It's come from, I mean the crows over here.
On,
right over here.
On Hoodoo.
Yeah.
Where were the Piegans coming from, do you know?
Well, they come from over here. From the
Muddy Creek
Brownies. Through over here, right straight over here.
See, that would be kind of coming down Muddy Creek, would it?
Yeah. That's the Muddy Creek right here. Yeah.
Back.
And then they know they're close, they camp here. That's why they build a trench roof here. They're ready for them. Yeah, they know.
The Blackfeet knew that the crows were here. And so they built these rock structures.
Yeah, they're ready. That's why they had these trenches made.
They had a lot of time, apparently. Yeah.
A lot of time.
Otherwise, they couldn't have built this in a hurry.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of time to build these trenches. You know how that.
Yeah.
Big rocks
and 60 of them was. They have a lot of time to build. Oh, they're after something, but they made a mistake. They got cleaned up at that time. Yeah.
What was your father's name?
He did it. Benedict, he did it.
And was there anyone else out here with you and your father?
Oh, there was always some people around here.
Some old-time people?
Oh, Indians, old-time Indians and some white people, old tribes and something. They always come around here, over here. And there's always somebody around here. Not every day, but often.
So this was kind of a famous battle site for the crows.
Yeah. Yeah, why the they trained the Piegan Indians by the great for them to go.
Did other people besides your father tell you about the battle?
Well, the old people, they used to tell stories about these here battles over here.
So you've heard several different stories?
I heard a lot of times they tell stories about them. Who's the brave warrior, and this and that, and they tell stories like that.
Who were the principal Crow warriors, if you can recall, that were in this battle?
Well, I don't know. I might know, but I don't know
Stumphorn. Stumphorn.
Oh, that.
Medicine man.
Well, that's the medicine man.
Stumphorn.
Yeah.
Stumphorn.
He come over here alone. Alone. They could hit him. They got 44 rifles in them days now. 44. They could hit him. So he make tomahawk something out of a elk horn.
Spear.
And he killed two over here. You see that two pile rocks over here. Small ones here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right over here. That one and one over there. Then the whole gang jump on him.
This was after they had horses.
Huh?
Did the crows have horses at this time?
They got horses. Yeah. They got ponies.
Do you know about when this battle took place?
Oh, it must be about 140 years around there now. Somewhere around there.
1830s or 40s, along in there?
1829, one of them. Somewhere around there. That was way beyond there when they claimed Custer. It's 1876, they claimed Custer. Way beyond that.
Is there any one's lifetime that you can tie the date to? Any event that would help in fixing the date that this battle took place?
Ich hutte dich. Ich sag dir der Pilk, das ist die Sache, alles zu sehen.
Okay, toll, wie das ist.
No, see that.
This took place first, then that Colwyn outfit over here, not too long ago. See by it.
Afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Afterwards, but 100 and some years now.
Well, this Stumphorn has a record there at the agency office is recorded there. Recorded as Stumpy Horns. You know, stump horn of a buffalo, that's his name.
Elk.
Yeah.
Elk horn. They don't grow like
oh,
the elk. They kind of grow funny like this, you know, like ball. They call that
Stumpy Horn.
A big man, too. Like I said, big man.
Do you know whether it was any particular group of the crows that was involved? Was it any particular band, who the band leader was, the chief?
Oh, I don't know.
Mountain crows, crows. I got
a home. Must be the mountain crows.
Must be him. This stump horn has a son by the name of Willie Moore.
Yeah, Willie Moore.
Willie Moore. He knows him quite well.
Yeah. Not long before he died.
Yeah.
William Moore is dead now?
The other Moore is dead now.
He described this stump horn as a great, big, huge man, real dark color.
Kind of brownish, like Bill Moore.
Yeah. That's why I got him mixed up with this Jim Beckwith one. The books, history books, say that he was mulatto and kind of dark. So I thought maybe he was the same guy, but apparently not.
Do you have any idea how many crows were involved in this battle?
I don't know much, but about 1,000 crows over.
Oh, boy.
Big camp, the main camp.
Very big camp. I got a whole about 2,000-3,000.
That's a mountain. I was
mountain crows.
That mean?
And these
the
river crows. They way down there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But these here must be mountain crows.
Yeah.
3,000-4,000 of a pair.
Ask him about the skull, see? Bones and stuff. Where?
The bones that were lying around when you first saw the place,
yeah,
where they...
Yeah, these other heads. Skulls. Skulls.
Human skulls.
Yeah. Laying here and there, all over. Rapes. Legs. Arm, all the way down that direction over here.
Toward Muddy Creek.
Towards the creek, Muddy Creek.
And were there any bows and arrows?
Well, I see spearheads, some old arrow, curved like that. It showed rain or something.
Oh,
then so old that they break.
When would it have been that you were here first? Back about 1910, or do you remember?
Around about 1904 or 1905. Long time ago. Yeah.
Were there any guns lying around when you first saw?
Well, I don't see anything lying around there. If there is, but there was some trappers they all picked up for. So I don't see no gun or nothing. Piece of old arrows laid on there.
Mm-hmm.
Spearheads and made out of rock. Old man picked one up with him. He said that was a bone. And it's pointed, all soft. Yeah, but not a bone. And I picked up a head down here. Old man told me not to touch the arrow for that. Yeah, these guys, that's no good, it's
meaning a human skull.
Yeah. They're no good, don't touch them. I remember that, yeah.
That was your father.
Yeah.
Oh, there weren't any cartridges? No cartridge cases? Empty.
Shells.
What
the
load up was it?
There used to be a lot of old 44 shells made out of the rich copper, I think, shells. They're short like that, 44. There used to be a lot of them over here. bunch of kids, they picked him up, they played with it. I had some for a long time, I don't know what I done with it. Mm-hmm. They're not the kind we got now, they're real red, they're copper, I think. Yeah. It's just 44.
Do you know anyone that has anything that was ever picked up here at this site?
No. Not too long ago, about 5 years ago, Louis Landry found their spearhead over here. Another guy with wooden leg there, that Ray Powell, he stole that, but he had a fight here. Yeah, found him right in there. That big trench over here, this one, right under the ground. Stick out about that much, got that spearhead. Good one, laid out of rock. Solid rock. Color put me like glass.
What color?
Put me like something agate, but not agate. Color like a glass.
Black, huh?
This kind.
Like a car window.
See, almost through. Yeah. Hard, you. That won't break. I don't know what kind of a rock there was. It's about that. Louis found it. Well, how about it, he said. And the other guy went, I said, where's my spear? I lost it here. And looked around and he stole it.
You think some of these Indians had guns?
Well, they got guns them days. 44. Some of them, they put powder in there. Yeah, stink.
Muzzle loaders.
That there, they got 44. Some white people, they sell 44 guns to the Indians to trade in with hides and stuff.
Were there any of these rock structures around further on down toward Muddy Creek?
I don't know. I saw what you've seen here that nobody touched. But these were piled up good. They're about that high.
A couple
some
of feet high.
People come over here, they kiss, they push them over. These here, they're down now. They ought to not touch it. Leave them stand there.
That's right. It should be preserved.
Yeah. I told Joel to fix it up somewhere. Just moving wire around this place. It beats alone well, so.
This site ought to be preserved. It's a very historic place. That's why we've tried to photograph most of these structures and why we're trying to get this story so that we can preserve the story of what went on here.
Yeah. Now that small pile of rock over here, that's what a... What a...
Dump horn?
Yeah, dump horn, kill them too. Right there. Then they overpower them. Yeah.
So the crows came right in and fought them at these rock structures here.
Hand to hand, I suppose.
Dog fight. Yeah. Well, it must be because they grab each other and stab each other and they cut them up, you know. They're wild in them days.
I wonder how many crows killed either.
Oh, they'd have to say how many they killed. I don't think they killed any. They wounded some, all right. But
there was about 60 Blackfeet.
60 of them. They count them. Only two alive, one died somewhere, wounded. Just one got home, that's all. He got 59. They kill him.
Have you ever heard of any Blackfeet coming back down, you know, in more recent years and remembering this battle?
Well, way after that, not too long ago. They come over here. Blackfeet, Pecan, Blood Indian. They come over here, they tell stories about this. They know that 60 of them was trained
29. Only one got home. He must have carried, so that's how they know.
Yeah, so you've actually got the story from the Blackfeet side, too.
Yeah, that's a strange story, Crow. Yeah. Some big gander say that they had no business coming over here to be cleaned up over here. They're crazy and they talk on like that. You know how it is, yeah. They want to steal horses. Why don't they sneak around and steal them instead of get the trenches here ready for the crows? You can't wait the crows, they say. You can't. Yeah.
I wonder if there's any possible way of pinning the date down. Stumphorn was here. Is there a record of when Stumphorn died?
Yep.
Do you have any idea how old Stumphorn was?
No. This William Moore died about in the early 30s, I think. So from there, I think we can work on him. The only record there that William Moore's father was Stumphorn. See, they give a short genealogy of the of these people. He said his father was Stumphorn, but it didn't say when he died.
Mm-hmm. So we don't really know when Stumphorn died then.
No, but we know when William
There's
Moore
no record.
Died.
Mm-hmm. And we them days. We do now.
Well, I suppose that Stumphorn might have died before the agency really got going.
Yeah. Well, they established this St. Xavier schoolhouse. That one burned down in 1882. Mm-hmm. That's way beyond that. They had no record of any kind of day.
They got the Crow Agency going at up by Livingston probably in the early 70s.
72, I think.
And I suppose this would have been, Stumphorn would have died before that, apparently.
Well, I don't know. See, Willie Moore died in the 30s.
How old was Willie Moore when he died?
I don't know.
Cut his arc.
Pretty old.
He was old.
So this would have been back in the fur trade days, the 30s or 40s, long in there.
But I'll work on that some more.
And when we were coming up here, we noticed the clump of cottonwoods where the battle at Cold Wind was in, had taken place, and that Cold Wind battle was much later than this battle here.
Much later.
Could you tell us something about that battle of Cold Wind was in?
I wasn't born even.
I go down there, Joey, see we get Cold Wind.
Well, some Pete Gans come over, they want to steal ponies, they want to keep a crow. And they happened to run into him. They had a big fight there. And old Colgan comes right across the creek, close there. They killed his ponies. And old Colgan, I think he got that man. He got him.
He shot the man that killed his pony.
They killed his pony, and he killed a guy.
This Colgan died in 1938, Coco.
Yeah.
And he was about 97, 98.
We about 100 and some years ago. And they pile rocks there. I don't know if the cowboys removed that or they're still there.
How big a stack of rocks was that?
They pile big rocks. Pile that high.
About this high?
Right across the creek. Yeah, well, Cold Wind and that began, and the rest of the old runaway, they could get them.
Did they make a pile of rocks on both sides of the creek?
Yeah,
Why were there two piles?
Huh?
Why were there two piles of rocks?
There's one there for Colwyn. Pony, the other one for the PJ.
I only saw one when I went to.
But it's pretty hard telling now them cowboys there. They stop here and there, remove everything, change everything around. I know the last time I see is one pile of rock there. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm. Who told you about the Cold Wind battle?
Well, old man, he brought me over there. I seen that.
Your father?
Yeah. An old Cold Wind.
He
come there, show us where the fight.
Oh, you were there with Cold Wind.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
When did your father die?
49.
How old was he then?
About 89. You take out 270s in them, there are 300 savages. We all right, but most of them, they got bow and arrows and spears, tomahawks. They've got 44 rifles. That must be black powder, but
it must be sharp.
Yeah.
Probably.
Enough to kill a buffalo. Except, but they couldn't hit that man here that was here.
Stump
on there, who was a Tagiok, 44 on there, over who?
Oh, that's repeating.
Yeah.
Repeaters, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 44, then it must have about 18, 20 shells in them.
Oh, yeah.
44, yeah. That's what they got, these here. Put near all of them got that.